Hello and welcome to this week's instalment of Politics Hour. Today, joining me is Brittany Ang
Hello.
and Harmony Holland.
Hey, I'm back again.
I didn't actually mention who I was. I'm Chelsea Abbott. I also do this show sometimes with Brittany Ang and Harmony Holland, and plenty of other people who are all busy today. So, what are we talking about on today's episode? We decided to start with actually going across the seas, which we don't normally do, all the way over to the US, where currently, on top of everything that's happened in the US, Donald Trump has decided that TikTok will be banned from operating in the US. This is because they are concerned about the privacy of TikTok, but also there is also a concern about Chinese-owned video sharing platforms or other social medias. Overall, it's just a security concern, but obviously a lot of people use TikTok now. It's kind of a worldwide thing. So I thought we could just discuss about what we think about Donald Trump cancelling TikTok.
I mean, I don't think she'll be able to ban it completely unless they do something like China does with their internet, sort of ban everything that they don't agree with. But then I'm pretty sure a lot of people will be arguing about freedom, I guess, freedom of expression.
I mean, like, TikTok for me is not something that I'm particularly fond of because, I'm old and stuff. But, like, it's like the old Vine, isn't it? Do you remember Vine? Anybody remember Vine?
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Someone who's old. But I know that it's not very well regulated. I've heard horror stories about it. Like, and my 10-year-old sister's on it, so it makes me quite cautious of the things she might be watching.
Yeah,
Regular.
it has been said that it could have security threats, but what it's weird because a lot of companies have invested into it, and Microsoft was actually one of these rumored to have discussions with TikTok's owner, which then makes it kind of weird because Microsoft is a very big company. Microsoft become its own country?
Oh my God. Very big company, and Trump is still deciding to pull the emergency economic powers to ban the app. By the way, he is using emergency economic powers to do this. I mean, recently Donald Trump and China haven't been the best of friends.
I mean, the US and China have never really had a great relationship. And then obviously the stuff happening in Hong Kong, and then Trump letting people from Hong Kong come into the US, that's obviously annoyed China.
But we're doing the same.
Yeah, but we don't have as unsteady relationship with China, in my opinion. I think sometimes we are too scared to put fuel on the fire, unlike the US.
US is about 10 times our size. It's got masses and masses of army, so it could fight the Chinese. I assume if it goes that way, whereas us, we are a lot smaller, but then we're also friends with America. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've also offered Hong Kong citizens possibility to live here. Boris and Donald are like really good mates. So we want to keep America on side. And but I mean, we haven't gone as far as to call China names as Donald has.
Yeah. Do you think
There's
that we could follow suit with banning TikTok?
I'm very much expecting Boris Johnson to come out and say that he wants to ban TikTok.
I mean, again, it's not policed. TikTok is just, there's got, what I've seen, there's obviously, there's hardly any regulation on it. A BBC reporter did a whole report on it, and I didn't manage to watch the entire video because my data ran out. But she said how, I think she had an eating disorder, so anorexia or something like that. So she put, I don't want to see videos about it. And then videos kept coming up about it. And Dali told me that she'd seen a few things that were making fun of people with illnesses that I just don't think is on, to be fair.
It has that, because obviously on TikTok you have that front page of, it's a For You page. It's stuff that you frequently like that will then pop up. It's a similar thing to the search bit in Instagram, but it does, it's not as monitored as search, and I think that's where the fear is in it as well.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that the fear with every single social media platform? So I don't get why Trump is targeting TikTok in particular. Or it might just be because, as you guys said, America and China hasn't had the best relationship.
It does make you question that, though, because on any platform, you are given the freedom of speech, and TikTok gives you that, Instagram does, Twitter, Facebook, but only with people you're friends with. They're all platforms where any voice can be opinionated, put out.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just see it as creating a problem where there isn't one. I mean, privacy problems and stuff like that is obviously a problem, but it's the same with any other social media platform. I mean, even with Google and, okay, any kind of search engine, anything that has a search engine in it, there's a threat of, like, privacy problems, security problems. So, I have no idea why making such a big deal out of it.
It's Donald Trump who's trying to win this year's election. Have you seen that he's actually tried to have the election pushed back?
No.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he's been trying to get the election pushed back on claims that mail-in votes might be sabotaged or something.
He's saying that coronavirus is going to play a big part in whatever comes out, so they should wait until it's over.
No. They've got to a point now where there are so many that you can see that there's going to be an increase in voters. So that's kind of frustrating. So I was very demanding on that. No. Because it's just a really exciting time.
Yeah. So with the whole Russian scandal in 2016, I think he realised that, obviously, with the Black Lives Matter movement, that the young people are starting to go against him. And obviously,
I think there's been a considerable drop, not just in the US, but across the world, of, like, trust. There is a lot being brought to attention at the moment. So seeing how political leaders react to that is dropping trust in what they are. I mean, COVID was a big challenge for the world. Black Lives Matter is finally taken ahead, and that's been a big challenge on how political leaders deal with that. There's all sorts of economic crisis, how to stop deaths of coronavirus, and I'm trying to remember from the top of my head, but there's been a lot being spoken about at the moment, and we're looking at the trust of our political leaders, and now they can vote on the direction they feel they want to go in next.
I'm starting to think I might the sound of you in this city. We drive on the cold mass pine. The church is calling from New Amsterdam. And in a dream, your future had a voice and he spoke like me. I'm starting to think that I wanna buy you chocolate hearts from CVS. Kiss you too hard and follow you west. Sing you sad songs on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, I think I'd like to tie you in ways that you can't undo. Dinner in bed and Korean food. Say I love you just a little bit too soon. When you're talking to me, we got our SSRIs in common. You check the box on my right side column. I'm at ease, as quiet as suburban trees. Whenever you get around me, I got all I could ever need. And I wanna buy you chocolate hearts from CVS. Kiss you too hard and follow you west. Sing you sad songs on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, I think I'd like to tie you in ways that you can't undo. Dinner in bed and Korean food. Say I love you just a little bit too soon.
About talking about this next point because I think it's just brilliant. Michelle Obama started a podcast called the Michelle Obama Podcast, where she has invited her inner circle, so her mother, her brother, friends, colleagues and good friends, as well as her husband, President Barack Obama, to basically discuss a variety of different topics that she often speaks about publicly. So community, her points and topics and issues about how America's dealing with different types of things that are happening. She's talking about health and bodies and challenges of being a parent, all sorts. She's covering everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds amazing. But I think what Chelsea meant to say was previous president and previous. First lady.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I want to point it out.
I'm sorry, I'm reading from my notes, which are very quickly written up. So previous, all of this is previous, but this podcast is now. And she spoke to the previous president in this podcast. So she spoke to Barack Obama about a really interesting topic of community. She spoke about the community that she's grown up in, which was quite a nuclear family unit. but they lived with like their grandparents. They all lived quite tight knit, and then they moved on to today, where we have wage stagnation. A lot of people in the US are paying for healthcare that has increased. And a lot of people are paying for college still. So there's these financial pressures on family, which makes more of a priority on yourself and less on your community. And they continue to speak about how this has affected America today, with the more of the me, I do what I want to do, rather than us together as one big community in one place of one big country. And this also took a step into voting and how young people question in Obama's time as president and now whether it is actually worth voting into politics, worth voting into something that maybe they can't change. It was a really interesting discussion. Do you think their points of view actually portray America?
It highlights a lot of problems. I think there are a lot of similar discussions and questions happening across the world regarding community, I guess, because I think it's because of capitalism that emphasizes on profit and individual gains instead of relying on the community. So I think that's one part of the problem, like sort of changing the whole societal structure. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon, but maybe the younger generation might find new ways of connecting, like, for example, through social media, like, through there, connect with other people and forming their own community. So, yeah. I think it is a problem, but it might be solvable if everybody puts in the effort to do so.
Do you think this whole idea around, so having a community, having a unit could make these better? Because again, they mentioned we are a very me generation. We won't start these sort of families and communities until we're in a place of good economic wealth ourselves, or have good jobs, or have the time. Do you think that is our generation today?
Very much so. But I think people just have to realize the fact that there's always work to be done and there's always money to be made. So I think it's just a point where people have to realize it themselves, that they're losing all these close community ties that could help us better ourselves, instead of just focusing on what we can do for ourselves. So yeah, that I think it really relies a lot on individual realization, stuff like that. So yeah, it also goes down to education.
Yeah.
Because what you teach your kids are gonna be what your kids teach their kids. So yeah, I think parents also play a big role in this.
There's gotta be a balance, I think. Coming from like a very, everyone's quite close and knows each other where I'm from, you learn stuff not just outside your parents, but from other people that you're surrounded by. And you start to discover like political mindset
threats and things that you should and shouldn't do from different aspects and different people, and that maybe saving money rather than going out and trying to earn as much as you can and getting into that place. There's all sorts that you can learn from a community, but we are in a very hard economic time at the moment.
But I think, I mean, I'm pretty sure previous generations have gone through worse. Like the what's it called? The Great Depression, was it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're not as worse as they had it. So, I mean, I know some people have it bad, but it's not like we can't climb out of it.
But
I mean, we can always rebuild. Anything material, we can always rebuild. But a lot of bonds and a lot of relationships, well, if it's lost, most of the time it's lost forever.
Yeah. And I think we are going to leave that there, but like, definitely have a listen to this podcast if you get the time, because it's well worth it. It's very interesting to actually have them both in that setting too, because if you go onto Michelle Obama's Twitter, they're just chilling in their living room with some mics, kind of like what we're doing.
The way I feel, the way I feel, I'm standing still, nothing else matters now, you're not here, so where are you? I've been calling you, I'm missing you. If I lose myself, I lose it all.
Going to move over to a topic that Harmony suggested. If she is there, she's got the magic mute button on her microphone.
It started last week, I think, that masks were made mandatory now, but for the whole country it started last week, mandatory in shops. In the next couple of weeks, it's going to move over to museums and every confined space you can think of. Now, there's a lot of discussion about who can and can't wear a mask. There is a bit of an exemption list, such as kids under the age of 11, people with autism that might find masks uncomfortable, that sort of thing. And there's also people who have breathing problems. Now, what's grinding my gears a little bit is obviously that I have asthma, and I have pretty chronic asthma. It's pretty bad. I've had it since I was 2. You know, I'm on pretty strong steroids to try and keep my lungs, you know, breathing, because they can't do it on their own. And there's a lot of people saying that you should be exempt because you have asthma. And I'm here to tell you that for me, who has chronic asthma, I don't think that should be the case. Now, obviously, if I start having an asthma attack, yes, I'll probably take it off. But yes, you do get hot. Yes, it isn't nice smelling your own breath. You should probably have a mint before you have one on. But we need to get used to it, because if masks stop the spread, bearing in mind you can be asymptomatic, which means you may have COVID, you just don't have the symptoms, and you can easily pass that on to somebody else who will get symptoms, who could possibly be vulnerable, wear a mask and wear it over your nose. There are so many people that are wearing a mask over the mouth and under the nose. Now, wear it over the nose. If you need a break from a mask, take it off for a minute and then put it back on. Don't have it off for long if you think you need a break. But it's good that it's mandatory, and I think it should have been no longer, long time ago. That's my personal opinion. But
and just to talk about what happens when you do pull your mask off your chin. So the inside of your mask is what is protecting you. The outside obviously will have germs from air and what's basically floating about, but it also, your neck is not covered. So when you pull a mask off your mouth and onto your neck, you are then contaminating the inside as well as the outside. So when you're trying to protect your mouth and nose, if you remove it and put it on your chin, they will then be infected with bacteria, virus or germs that could cause anything, to be honest. You could just get a cold from it, but you could also end up with something way worse, and it takes away the point, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, going on what Harmony said about masks being made mandatory in public places, I mean, I really don't get why people are making, like, kicking up such a fuss over it. I'm pretty sure it's been made sort of a political thing somehow by the politicians, but it really is just common sense, isn't it? Like, the risk, like, it's the droplets and, well, that has the highest chance of spreading the virus, or any kind of virus, really. And wearing a mask out in, when you're in public or when you're in public places, it's just really, it's just common sense and it's just good manners. So I really don't get why people are making such a big deal of it. Is it just because, like, is it just because you got people in the UK and the US don't really have that culture of wearing masks? Because in Asia, it's not really much of a problem with masks. It's just, well, as Chelsea mentioned, there may have been arguments about the right way to wear a mask and the right way to take it off and store it. Yeah, but it's quite common sense to wear a mask out in public, isn't it, during these times?
It does seem it, and also what I struggle with is being told when I should be or shouldn't be. It's obvious that when you're in a situation where socially distancing may be struggle to be contained, if you're inside somewhere that isn't your home, or maybe if you're in a city where social distancing may be hard as well, like, these are situations where you may be expected to be wearing your mask. We've waited until Boris Johnson tells us that.
Yeah. Now, I do have some advice for those. If you, obviously, we as a country haven't worn masks before. I mean, I know that you've been used to it for quite a while, as you told me, Brittany. But if you want to get used to it, it's not hard. Wear one in your house. Wear one out your garden. Wear it for a good hour. get used to breathing through it, and you know, and I don't, unless you are really, 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 really bad with asthma, you don't really need to wear it from an asthmatic person point of view. I've not had a coughing fit yet for smelling my own breath. There is a
I mean, there are exemptions, but as Han said, I mean, you could probably practice and get used to it, get used to wearing it, like, inside your house. Like, for example, I'm wearing... Like, for example, I'm wearing one right now inside my house. And it's mainly because I have a cold, so I really don't want to risk spreading it to anybody right now. And I think it's a very common practice over in Japan. Like, whenever you're sick, whatever it is, a fever, a cold, or a flu, whatever it is, as long as you're sick, they wear a mask out in public, or even in their house if they're living with other people, just so you don't spread it to other people. So it's really just a question of common sense and how much you care for other people, I guess.
It is really easy to get used to, because, like, again, like with Harmony, what she said, where she was practicing wearing it, I did the same thing because I can't breathe properly through my nose, so the only place that I'm actually breathing out of is my mouth, and with that being covered, it can cause problems. But yeah, if you're worried, get adapted to it. I mean, currently in the UK, for an example, we are taking a step back on what can be open at the moment, so you're not going to be going out as much. So maybe when you do go out every now and then, consider it, or just do it. It's probably the bit more rash way to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it's just wear a mask when you're outside.
You didn't know, is that we can go forever if we want to. We can live inside of a moment, the one that we own.
And on that note, we are going to move on to our last thing. I thought we could end. I feel like we have spoken about COVID a lot, but we do want to be here to keep you guys informed. And the last bit that we wanted to look at in this show was a mixture of things. Harmony wanted to talk about shielding, which I think we should go on to first, and then just some of the general lockdown measures. As some of you may know, we are taking a step back in the UK because we have seen rises of cases in other countries, which is a bit scary, and also because of a second wave. But anyway, Harmony, back to you again.
Yeah. So, good news for 2.2 million people in this country and those who finally want to be able to visit their grandparents. Shielding is done. Shielding is over. You no longer have to shield if you got told to. It's done. It's out. Bye-bye. That means that you can go and visit family members. You know, I can go and hug my nan again, sort of thing. I probably won't, but I go and see her. I go and sit in the house again, have a cup of tea.
You can sit indoors because you can do two households indoors now, which is exciting.
And, you know, my nan don't need shield anymore because Boris has said so. Now, obviously, there is some people that are still worried, especially, for example, if you've just had chemotherapy, your immune system's still low. I mean, I'm not going to say don't be worried. I'm just going to say be cautious. Make sure that you're as cautious as you were, but also try and live a little bit. Go and see your family. If you don't want to sit inside, sit outside. The weather's gorgeous. But, yeah, so shielding's done. Return to work, I believe, is also underway.
Yeah, that went into place yesterday. Yeah, people who can work from home will now return to work. And actually, we are talking about all this and saying, yay, stuff is kind of going back to normal because we're in a kind of good situation. Brittany, when has this happened in Malaysia at all?
I mean, we already kind of got back to normal like a couple months ago. But when I say kind of, it means that new measures are in place just to ensure that people follow regulations. Like stores have to follow like strict distancing. That is to say, like for example, restaurants, they're only like a set amount of maybe customers that can be in, or like a set distance that tables have to be in, like between each other. And yeah, for like clothing shops and everything, yeah, they limit the number of people going in, and they sanitize like absolutely everything that people come in contact with. For example, clothes, hands, the door handles. I've seen shops that actually sanitize their dressing rooms and fitting rooms. So yeah, I think it's just a matter of being vigilant and not relaxing too much. As you mentioned, just wear a mask in outside or when you're with other people, and wash your hands. Hand sanitizers and stuff like that are still around if you're worried about it being portable, stuff like that. Yeah, over here it's like there's not really much trouble. It's just for people who, as we mentioned previously, people sometimes just pull their mask down below their chin when they're eating, and that obviously isn't the right way to do it. So our government has imposed sort of a fine system. Like if you're not wearing your mask properly, or if you're not wearing a mask out in public, you're gonna get fined 1,000 ringgit, which is about £200. I'm not really up to date on conversion rates, but that's about £200. So yeah, those are some of the measures we have in place right here. And hopefully cases over here won't be spiking or rising anytime soon.
It seems like we've got into this state of like partial calm, both in the UK and Malaysia, of kind of steadiness but still being cautious, especially to those who are shielding. Yeah, and we can actually see the government. We've kind of got to a point now where we know what we're doing to an extent. And I think this can be shown through recent changes that Boris Johnson has made over how we are dealing with this pandemic. Boris Johnson has opened parts of the economy back up again, but we have seen newer restrictions, just taking a step back, and also the local lockdowns such as Manchester, Bradford and Leicester, which is ensuring that we are keeping our cases lower. I think you can see the same in Malaysia, Brittany, because there is this slow mixture from day to day of a downward and upward trend, but nothing massively significant, massively worrying. We're in a time of stableness, I would say.
Yeah. It's been a couple months like this for us, so it's kind of like it's just kind of being normal to us right now. But it might be quite confusing for some people in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's some initiative now, though. I think we kind of know what's going on now, which is good, but obviously the year goes on and things are going to change and go backwards and forwards. I mean, when do schools open for you? Because we've got 4 weeks until schools open in the UK.
Schools open. Our schools reopen in, was it last month? Yeah, in July.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so schools have reopened for quite a while now. And so far, we've maintained that sort of balance between regulations and the number of cases. So I think that's quite positive for us.
Yeah, that is positive. And actually, that's kind of reassuring that, because obviously the first time schools opened in the world, I think it was China, wasn't it? And they got shut like a week later. Because obviously it's that first big time where you're putting a lot of the public into one place. So
I think a lot of countries kind of learn from that experience. So like, for example, over here, we kind of reopened the economy in stages first before reopening school. So people can sort of get used to the new normal and get used to all these tedious steps when you're outside. I say it's tedious, but it's keeping people safe. So so I think we've already had a chance to get ourselves used to all this mask sanitizing thing every time we're in public. So we haven't had much of a problem with schools reopening. I think that's what a lot of countries are learning, case by case.
And we should use these examples too to see what other countries are doing it and try and take it on yourself. I know that we have had in the UK a very European look and gone, what are the other countries in Europe doing? Shall we do that too?
But I think like just widen our perspective, I guess, because just focusing on one part of the world really won't help any.
Okay, well, I think we have come to an end now. I think we're all talked out. We've kind of gone over what am I trying to say?
Yeah, so I think Chelsea's a little bit out of it today.
Yeah. I've noticed that we've looped a lot. We've gone from one topic and looped it all the way round back to coronavirus or back to an election, which I think rounds it off quite nicely, I guess.
Yeah.
And on that note, we are going to leave you be because, it's like 10 o'clock where Brittany is, Harmony's on mute and I'm tired. Describe that we are at the end of the show.
Only on mute, so you don't hear my heavy breathing. Gee, I'm trying to save some time, woman.
And on that note, again, we will see you next Monday with a slightly more organised politics hour. Have a lovely week.
Bye, guys.
Yeah. Bye bye. White tiger.
Time.